I invite you to please get your Bibles and turn them to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Just one verse for this message. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. This verse has become a great source of comfort and encouragement for me. That's why this verse is very precious to me, and I've decided to preach on this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks. Let me repeat it again. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Concerning or for you. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you and for me. If you are in Christ, that is the will of God for you. And may the Lord bless that verse to our hearts. The message this morning is simply this, or the title of this message is simply this: in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. It is easy to thank the Lord when things go well with us. It is easy to thank the Lord when you have employment and you're earning money and you are able to provide for your family. It is easy to thank the Lord when you are physically healthy, no illness, no medication to take. It is easy to thank the Lord when your relationship with your spouse, with your husband, or with your wife, or with your children, or with your parents, or with your friends, with your neighbors, or with your fellow members of this church, when your relationship is okay, then it is easy to thank the Lord. It is easy to thank the Lord when God's face is shining upon us. It is easy to thank the Lord when you prayed and then the Lord answered your prayer. It is easy to thank the Lord. But we all agree that it is difficult to thank the Lord when you've lost your job, when you are ill, when you have cancer, when perhaps one of your children is in a miserable condition, when your mom or when your dad, when their relationship is not okay, when you prayed to the Lord many times, and yet the Lord did not answer your prayers. It is hard to thank the Lord when things seem to be going wrong with us. Last Wednesday, before I share this story, you all know that next month will be my wedding. July 20, the Lord willing. And you all know that I don't have any relatives in the U.S. In fact, I only have two relatives in this world, technically speaking. My mom and then my brother. I was only about 3 years old when my father left me, and since then I have never seen him again. And of course, now that I'm getting married, I want my mom and then my only brother to be present at the wedding. But the problem, because they are in the Philippines right now, and the Philippines, unfortunately, is considered to be a third world country. So if they want to come to the U.S. and attend my wedding, they will have to apply for visas. Without visas, they can't come to the U.S. And so I did everything that I could. We wrote them a letter so that my mom and my brother could present to the consul in Manila, because there is a U.S. embassy there. So they applied last Wednesday for visas. But for some reason, they were denied. That means they cannot be present at the wedding. I prayed for this many times. I begged the Lord. I said, Lord, please, if I could make a, Lord, just one request before the wedding, please give my mom, my brother visas so they can attend my wedding. And many people prayed about this. And last Wednesday, when I phoned my mom asking, you know, how it went about their interview. Actually, it was my brother first who received the phone call, and then he said to me, my brother, it was negative. We were denied. When I heard that, I said, Lord, help me. Help me to still thank you. Help me to still praise you. Help me to still remain grateful to you. But I tell you, it goes against my nature. It's hard. It's hard. But what should I do? Should I not be thankful to God because He had not answered my prayer? No, I don't have to do that. I don't have right to do that. I don't have right to be upset with God. And I praise the Lord and I thank Him that He gave me grace to accept this reality. Because even if they reapply, it's already late for them. Because the next available date for interview will be July 19th, the day before the wedding. It's impossible for them to make that trip to the U.S. And as I was pondering upon that, this verse came to my mind, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so I said, Lord, you did not say in some, but in everything, And this visa denial is part of that everything, and therefore, I still need to thank you. And my mom, as well as my brother, with God's help, they were also able to thank the Lord, to thank the Lord. But perhaps, as you are listening to me, your mind is wandering, and perhaps you have this question, but Pastor Brian, why still thank the Lord? And perhaps you have your own story. Perhaps you prayed to the Lord that God would heal you if you are ill, or that God would give you employment, or that God would heal that pain, or that emotional pain, or that God would help you in whatever problem you have. And yet, even today, the Lord is silent. The Lord seems to be not answering you. And in fact, He did not answer you. Why still thank the Lord? Well, I have three reasons why. Three basic reasons. Now, first, because no matter what happens, whether the Lord answer you or not, whether the Lord provide your needs or not, whether the Lord bless you or not, it is your duty, it is my duty to thank the Lord in everything. That's our first point in this message. It is our duty to thank the Lord in everything. Now, second reason why we still need to thank the Lord, even in the midst of difficulties and sufferings, pain that we experience in this life, is this. Because it is God's desire. It is God's desire, God's will, that we thank Him in everything. Yes, that includes those bitter experiences. And then finally, so it is our duty. It is God's desire. And then finally, it is for our delight. It is for our delight that we give God thanks in everything. And I'm going to expound those points one by one with God's help. Let's go to our first point. So why thank the Lord in everything? Why thank the Lord in difficulties? Because it is our duty to thank the Lord in everything. Now please take note. Look at our text. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18. It says here, in every thing, give thanks. Now, those two words, give thanks, in Greek, it is only one word. It is only one word in Greek. And in Greek, that word is imperative. In other words, what the Apostle Paul is doing here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as he is writing, he is commanding the Thessalonian believers to thank the Lord in everything, in all circumstances. It is a command. And therefore, if we don't thank the Lord in everything, we disobey Him. And when we disobey God, we sin against Him. And because God is holy, when we sin against Him, God will punish us. And I'm afraid that perhaps the most neglected, one of the most neglected types of sin is ungratefulness. Sometimes when we think of sin, okay, yes, homosexuality is a sin. Yes, fornication is a sin. Yes, lying is a sin. Yes, murder is a sin. But how about ungratefulness? How about when we don't thank the Lord in everything? Brothers and sisters, we also sin. And ungratefulness and fornication are no different in God's sight. There's no such thing as, you know, light and heavy sin. Both of them are condemned by God. God abhors even that sin of unthankfulness. And so, why do we need to thank the Lord in everything? Well, simply because that is His command. And isn't it true that we love God on the basis of His command? If I ask you, why do you love God? One basic answer is what? Because God says so in His Word. He commands me to love Him. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. So I love the Lord because He commands me to love Him. And isn't it true? You come to this house of worship to worship God. Why? On the basis of God's command. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You see, ungratefulness is a form of disobedience to God. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, what was their sin? God said, do not eat. And they ate. They disobeyed God. And therefore, when the Bible says, give thanks in everything, if we don't do that, we disobey God. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, one of the marks of the unbelievers is unthankfulness. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in that verse, Romans 1:21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. It is God's command. And take note, the Bible says, give thanks in everything. What? Lord, you want me to thank you in everything? Lord, I lost my job. Does it mean that I'm going to thank you for that? Well, let me tell you this. That when God commands us to do something, He's not obligated to explain why to you. And it may seem nonsense to us, but in God's sight, for God, it perfectly makes sense. Perhaps when God said to Adam and Eve, do not eat the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, they might think, Lord, what? Of all the fruits in the garden? It doesn't make sense to us. Lord, what? In everything? But it doesn't make sense to me. Well, because you are not God. Because you are finite. Because you cannot understand fully what God has in His mind. God is God and He knows what He is doing. But you know what? If we are honest to ourselves, there are still many reasons to thank the Lord for, even in the midst of our bitter experiences. I remember, for example, Alexander White of Edinburgh. He was well known for his pulpit prayers, and he always found something to thank God for, even in bad times. One day, and it was Sunday morning, and it was raining hard, and there was a storm, and the weather was really bad. Now, one of his members thought to himself, "Ah, the preacher will have nothing to thank God on a wretched morning like this." But this pastor, Pastor White, he began his prayer in this way. He said, "We thank Thee, O God, that it is not always like this. We thank Thee, O God, that it is not always like this. It is not always rainy." And you know, sometimes in winter we complain. We say, "Oh, it's too cold." We complain and complain and complain, and we forget to thank the Lord. We forget to thank God that it is not always winter, that there is spring, that there is summer. And maybe in summer we complain it is too hot, but praise God that it is not always summer. You see, there are many reasons we can thank God for. Yes, you might be ill, but praise God that you are not always ill. Yes, you have a flu or cold, bad cold, but you can still thank God and say, "Lord, I thank you. Yes, I have this flu, but not always." You lost your job? You can still thank God and say, "Lord, at least, you know, last year I had a job." And I said to myself, "Lord, yes, and I believe that ultimately it is God who denied my mom and my brother visas to come to the U.S. But I can still thank the Lord and say, "Lord, okay, you refused my family to come to the U.S. and attend my wedding. But I still thank you that you did not refuse them to come to heaven, to give them visas, quote-unquote, to come to heaven. Because my mom and my brother, they are all believers in Christ." So I can still thank God for that. I remember also Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry, one of my favorite commentators. He was a Puritan. On one occasion, he had this very discouraging experience in which he was robbed and the thieves took everything of value from him. But later that evening, he wrote these words in his diary. He said, "I am thankful that during these years, I have never been robbed before. Also, even though they took my money, they did not take my life. Although they took all I had, it was not much. Finally, I am grateful that it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed." See, even Matthew Henry could find reasons, at least he gave four reasons to thank the Lord. Brother and sister, are we like this? Are we grateful to God? Do we thank the Lord for everything. Or we just thank God when He blesses us. We just thank God when He answers our prayers. When He provides our needs. But what if not? Do we still thank Him? It is a command. It is our duty. I think we need to sing repeatedly that hymn. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. That hymn says, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You see, the problem, what we count is not our blessings. It's not, we don't count what we have in Christ. We don't count His multiple blessings, His bountiful blessings that we enjoy in Jesus. We count what we don't have. Boys and girls, perhaps you are complaining. You don't have new pair of shoes, maybe. Well, thank God that you have feet. There are children, there are people who don't have feet. Yes, you don't have shoes, but you have feet to walk. We complain about the food. Oh, I don't like this and that. Well, thank God that you have food. There are many people who are starving to death. So we need to thank the Lord in everything. There's another hymn that I like. Thanks to God. It's an old Swedish hymn. And I want to read this. And please, pay close attention to this wonderful hymn. Thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks for all Thou dost provide. Thanks for times now but a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for pleasant, balmy springtime. Thanks for dark and stormy fall. Thanks for tears by now forgotten. Thanks for peace within my soul. Thanks for prayers that Thou hast answered. Thanks for what Thou dost deny. I like that. Thanks for prayers that Thou hast answered. Thanks for what Thou dost deny. Friend, do you thank God for those unanswered prayers? Thanks for storms that I have weathered. Thanks for all Thou dost supply. Thanks for pain and thanks for pleasure. Is there anyone here who thanks God for pain? Not just for pleasure. Thanks for comfort in despair. Thanks for grace that none can measure. Thanks for love beyond compare. Thanks for roses by the wayside. Thanks for thorns their stems contain. You see, we thank the Lord for roses, but we never thank Him for thorns. Thorns are part of roses. Thanks for home and thanks for fireside. Thanks for hope, that sweet refrain. Is there anyone here who can sincerely, honestly sing that hymn? Lord, I thank You not only for the prayers that you have answered. But I also thank you for those prayers that you have denied. So it is God's command that we thank Him in everything. Second, so why? Why thank God in everything? Look at our text. In everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Second point, second reason why we need to thank God in everything, because it is God's desire. It is God's will. You know, how often we say, and perhaps sometimes when we say this, we are not really sincere. We say, yeah, I'm praying for God's will. But I just don't know what is that will. Well, here's the will of God. What is the will of God? That you thank God in everything. It's obvious. This is what God wants you to do. He wills you. He requires you. He desires to see you. Thank Him in everything. And perhaps we might say, Lord, are you serious that it is your will for me to thank you when I lost my job, when my mom and my brother were denied visas, when I got sick, when my children are dying, when my wife and I are not, you know, having a good relationship? Lord, it's your will that I thank you for that? Yes. Yes, my friend. That is the will of God. And I don't have to understand why. It's not my business to know why. I don't have to understand why God would have to deny my mother and my mother. When in fact, it's my wedding. Lord, this is my wedding. I don't know why, but I know that that is the will of God, that I still thank Him for that visa denial. This is what we need to learn, to submit to God's will, even again when it doesn't make sense to us. That's why even this virtue of thankfulness, to thank the Lord, it requires faith. It requires faith. That you will believe in God's absolute sovereignty. That God is in control of everything. That He knows what He is doing. That He is our God, our Lord. He is our Master. He is our driver, so to speak. And we are just His passengers. And we need to submit to Him and to just be relaxed and let God drive your life. Lord, I don't know where you are driving. I don't know, Lord, where we're going right now. Lord, I don't want to go there. But Lord, you know my way. You know my way. You know what is best for me. I will still submit to your will. And this is what Jesus did when He prayed. If only this cup would pass by, nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will. We need to do that. I know it takes grace. Samuel Pierce, you probably don't know him. Samuel Pierce, he was born in 1766 and died in 1799. If you know William Carey, the great missionary to India, William Carey, Samuel Pierce and William Carey, they were close friends. Both of them were Calvinistic Baptist pastors. And in 1794, Samuel Pierce was really convinced that the Lord was calling him to be a missionary, and especially to be a missionary in India, to help, because at that time, William Carey was already in India. So he wanted to go to India to help Carey and serve the Lord there. But he had to ask permission from the administrative committee of the Baptist Missionary Society, which sent William Carey to India. And when the members of that committee met, they decided not to send Samuel Pierce to India. Samuel Pierce was, of course, disappointed. But you know what? His reaction to the decision of the committee displays an important aspect of his spirituality, and that is cheerful submission to God's will. Not just submission to God's will, but cheerful submission to God's will. For example, the day after he received the decision, Samuel Pierce wrote to his wife. He said to his wife, "I am disappointed, but not dismayed. I ever wish to make my Savior's will my own. Likewise," he wrote to William Carey. He said, "Instead of a letter, you perhaps expected to have seen the writer. And had the will of God been so, he would by this time have been on his way to Mudnabati," where Carey was staying at that time. "But it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. I must submit now to stand still and see the salvation of God. I must submit now." That's what we need to learn. And for sure at that time, Samuel Pierce, he was thinking, "Lord, why would you not send me to India? Lord, I'm going to share the gospel of your son with many Gentiles in that place. Why not send me there?" For sure he had many whys, but he cheerfully submitted to God's will. That's what we need to learn. Do you submit to God's will cheerfully? So why thank God in everything? Because that is the will of God. It is God's will for you that you thank Him in everything. He doesn't have to explain to you why you have to do that. But that is His will. And you see, when we do God's will, God is pleased in us. And what is most important for us, isn't it that we please God? Isn't it that we do His will? At least here, you are absolutely sure that when you thank God in everything, you're doing His will. You're giving Him glory. So it is God's will that we thank the Lord in everything. And then finally, in the last, so it is our duty to thank God in everything. It is God's desire, for this is the will of God, that we thank Him in everything. And then finally, in the last, it is for our delight, not for our destruction, not for our sadness. It is for our delight. It is for our own good, for our own advantage, that we thank God in everything. Look at our text again. In everything, give thanks. It is imperative. For this is the will of God. This is God's desire. In Christ Jesus, for whom? For whom? For you! And who is the you here? The you refers to the believers in Christ. Those who are in Christ. And so if you are in Christ, you can still thank the Lord in everything, knowing that this is for your delight. This is for your good. And that's why we have Romans 8:28. All things, in everything, all things work together for what? For our good. For the good of those who love God. But I have to tell you this, because sometimes we abuse that verse, Romans 8:28. I have to tell you this, that the word good in that verse ultimately refers to our conformity to the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can find that in the next verse, verse 29. You don't want to stop in verse 28 because you will give a false encouragement or false hope when you counsel and say, oh, forget about that. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. I lost my son! What is good about that? I lost my job. I have this cancer. What is good about that? Continue reading verse 29. That is for your conformity. So that you will be more like Jesus Christ. And isn't it true? Then when we are confronted with trials or when we face sufferings, that is when we learn to put our trust in God more and more. That is when we appreciate His grace more. Do you remember the Apostle Paul? He prayed, Lord, please take away this thorn in my flesh. But God did not answer his prayer. Instead, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And so that is when Paul appreciates more God's grace upon his life. So much so that he repeatedly says in his epistles, I am what I am by the grace of God. You see, Christ's likeness. Now, he has nothing to boast about despite all his accomplishments for the Lord. And sometimes God is doing that to us to humble us, that we may learn that we are totally dependent on God. So again, we cannot fully understand why, but one thing we do know is that this is the will of God concerning us in Christ Jesus for you, for me. This is for me. For our own good. For our own good. And indeed, after this visa denial, I learned to appreciate more the presence of God. Lord, my family will not be there, but I know your presence will be there. You're more important to me. And I learned to pray more to the Lord. And I learned to thank God. That's why I decided. I was actually thinking of doing a message on Pentecost, because today is Pentecost. I said, let me preach on this to force myself. This message is for me. I'm preaching to myself. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you become more precious to me. And yet on the other hand, practically speaking, yes, this is for us, for example. Maybe, I don't want to pinpoint, but maybe before you got married, you had prayed for another woman. Maybe that's possible. Maybe you really wanted this girl, and you thought that she would be your future wife. You prayed, Lord, I really love that girl. Lord, I want to marry her. Lord, please, 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 please. And then God did not answer your prayer. And now you can thank God and say, Lord, thank you that you had not answered my prayer back then. Otherwise, I wouldn't have met my lovely and beautiful wife. You see? See what you can still thank God? I remember my fellow pastor. He was flying to attend a conference, or maybe he was going to preach there, speak, very important meeting, and his flight was canceled. And he had to be there on time. And then he found out that that flight, that plane, where he was supposed to be in, crashed. People died. He said, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for sparing my life. You see, do you get my point? That there are many things that even when God denies us, and sometimes God has to do that so that we will, you see, we can only see what we can see. But God is all-knowing. Even before the foundation of the world, God has chosen us in Him. And God has foreordained everything. Everything is done for us. But we don't know that. And sometimes, we are so stubborn, we want to go this way. So God had to close this door. And then we go this way, and then close this, and close until we go to the right path. And then God would say, okay, now you learned the lesson. Continue going. That's where I want you to be. And my friend, even if God will take my life, still I can thank the Lord. Do you remember what Job said? It is God who has given, and it is God who has takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, I will still thank you. And then he said later on, though he slay me, though he kills me, I will what? Still trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. That's why I said earlier, to thank God in everything requires faith in Him. That's why for the unbelievers, this is impossible. The unbelievers cannot do that. And I want to end with this song. The title of this song is Trust His Heart. Trust His Heart. Please listen carefully. All things work for our good, though sometimes we do not see how they could. Struggles that break our hearts into sometimes blind us to the truth. Our Father knows what's best for us. His ways are not our own. So when your pathway grows dim and you just don't see Him, remember, you are never alone. God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you do not see His plan, when you cannot trace His hand, trust His heart. trust His heart. He sees the master plan. You see, this is what we don't see this. But God sees the master plan. And He holds our future in His hand. So don't live as those who have no hope. All our hope is found in Him. We see the present clearly, but He sees the first and the last. And like a tapestry, He's weaving you and me to someday be just like Him. God is weaving you and me to someday be just like Him. My brother and sister in the Lord, this is the goal. This is the goal. That we become like the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have that in your mind, you can thank the Lord. Because everything that happens to you happens with that ultimate purpose, so that God can conform you to the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you not be happy to know that? And that's the mystery behind this verse. We can still thank the Lord in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ for you and for me. Let us pray.